Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. I'm excited about having Robert Fritz on the back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Robert is a very accomplished individual. He is a musician, a composer, a filmmaker. He's one of those artsy guys who said, wait a minute, the stuff I know about art, about creating things in music and film and things like that, these are great tools to use to help people become better at what they do. Not only is, you know, these tools to become better in creating art, but it's helping create life as art. And so he turned that into an actual profession, and that's what he does now. And he's the co-author, along with Bruce Brodeken, of The Managerial Moment of Truth. And that's what he does. He takes these principles, which he's developed, which he's going to talk to us about again, and help us to be a little more artful in the way we run our business. Welcome back, Robert.
Hi, how you doing?
It's good to have you back.
Thank you. Good to be back.
What do you think
about
that?
Actually, you know, we were going to talk about the managerial moment of truth, but given your introduction, I would like to say a word or two about the creative process as it applies to organizations and to business.
Well, I want you to do that, and what I want you to do, though, is as you're doing that, I want you to tell us, incorporate into that the way you, when you go to a company and you take your process there, what do you see when you walk into this raw petri dish of a company, you know, with all these people that are all probably kind of dysfunctional, probably, you know, maybe some silos, some fiefdoms out there, there's some tension, maybe even some brain damage. When you walk into these organizations and you see things coming back at you when you try, as you're trying to introduce this, I want you to tell us about what that rawness looks like, because I want my audience to maybe see themselves and see that maybe what they think is normal really might not be.
Yeah, actually, there are two basic patterns that we see, and usually we see one and then turn it into the other. The first pattern is oscillation, and the second pattern is advancement. So when I say oscillation, I mean, if you look at the history of a lot of companies, both large and small, they seem to first move in one direction and then move in another direction. They build up capacity, then they downsize. They build up capacity again, then they downsize. Or they go on acquisition sprees and acquire other companies, and then they divest. And the centralized management, they decentralize, they centralize again, they decentralize. And these patterns, these cycles happen every 2-3 years, and you begin to wonder what the heck is going on.
Why do they do that? Have you determined why they do that?
They do that because the underlying structures they're in give rise to these patterns. Let me sort of give everybody a picture here that they will recognize. Let's say you've got somebody in a particular position who's not doing very well, and you try everything you can to help them do their job better, and at the end of the day, you have to replace them. So you replace them with somebody else, and you come back, and 3 months later, 6 months later, they're performing exactly like the person they replaced. And so many people have had that experience. And what that tells us is that it's not the individual, him or herself, that is the problem. It is something in the structure of that position, the way it's related to the other forces in play in the company. Incentives, goals, ways that people really are set up to do their jobs, but somehow
maybe a boss who's a control freak.
Usually, if there's a boss who's a control freak, that itself is a product of an underlying structure of not being able to have proper control in the company. So, you know, what we have found is that it's not dealing with the idiosyncrasies, the dysfunctional, the psychology of the person, him or herself. If we change that underlying structure, if we structure it better, And this is where the music comes in, because I really do, in fact, think of it as composing the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Where we really understand what are the main themes, what are the secondary themes, what's the accompaniment, how do we tie all of that together rather than have this fragmentation that happens. Well, then we can start to have all of the energy reinforce itself in the same way you can take a really capable person and put them into the wrong structure and suddenly they're not that good anymore. You can put somebody who hasn't been that great a performer, put them in a really good structure, and suddenly they're rising to the occasion. And so it's not just a matter of the personality. In fact, one of the discoveries that I made early on, about 30 years ago now, when I started to work in organizations, was that success does not always succeed. And I had to ask myself the question, what's going on that a team, for example, could be really successful, but then they're neutralized?
Mm-hmm.
So the question really is, how do we change that underlying structure and move it from oscillation to advancement? And one of the things that we do is we take away all of the competing forces. You know, if you look at a company and people in the company are competing against each other for the same resource base rather than competing against the competitors, for example.
Right, right.
You know that that's just bad planning.
Well, and exactly, and that's where you've got that's where you have those fiefdoms I talked about, or the silos that we talk about, where it's as my friend Arkie Cianciuti, who wrote the book called Built on Trust, he talks about that. And he says that you know, these are people. This is us against them type of thing, rather than, you know, us against the world, so to speak.
That's right, and it's an enormous waste of resources, human energy. People always feel thwarted, you know, really.
Pardon me, Robert.
The reality, if you really set it up right, where when people go to work, they're able to use their talents, their aspirations, their values in support of something they really care about.
Well, Robert, one thing I want to point out here, Robert, is that it's after a while, people actually get the idea that the person that they are actually competing against, I mean, it really becomes a crusade for them. You actually get this thing where the company turns on itself.
Yeah.
And I mean, people wake up thinking, you know, instead of thinking, how can I advance the company? How can I beat the competition? How can I get more customers? They actually think their goal in life is to beat some guy in the desk next to them.
You know, and so those companies, the best strategy is to try to do good things in the world and get away with it.
but that takes leadership, though. To get out of that, it takes
leadership,
and it takes leadership from the top. If you've got a toxic situation like we were just describing, go to the top. That's where it's, in my opinion, Robert, and I'll let you see if you agree with me or not when we come back after these messages. Folks, that kind of thing starts from the top. Stay with us. 20 after. We'll be right back with Robert Fritz.
Do you say the same words to someone else when I'm not there?
They ask me how I knew my true love was true.
Tony Williams, ladies and gentlemen. The great lead singer of the Platters.
Something here inside cannot be denied.
If it gets any better than that, I don't know it, Robert Fritz.
Wonderful.
Isn't that great? Isn't that a great song? I don't care how old you are.
It is. But before that, also, you know, the Aflac duck, my wife loves that duck.
Well, and, let me tell you something.
We have TiVo, but if the duck is on, we'll stop and watch the commercial.
Well, you tell your wife that we agree with her here on this show. we love the duck here at the Small Business Advocate Show. I can promise you that. Folks, Robert Fritz is our good friend and the guy who's pretty good sport here. He's the co-author of The Managerial Moment of Truth, along with Bruce Brodakin. And am I saying his name correctly, Brodakin?
Badakin.
Badakin, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't have the little emphasis point there, so I didn't know. Badakin, Bruce Badakin and Robert Fritz, The Managerial Moment of Truth. Robert, tell us where the book's available and give us your website too, please.
My website is Robert Fritz, F-R-I-T-Z.
With a Z.
Robert Fritz with .com. So that's www.robertfritz.com.
And the book is there. It's also available wherever books are sold.
In all the bookstores. It's Free Press, Simon & Schuster, and so it should be available everywhere.
And other books that Robert Fritz has written, you might want to check those out too. Okay, Robert, stop. Let's stop for a moment and give us the four key components of your managerial system.
Okay, just to give you a little bit of background, Bruce Bodakin is the CEO of Blue Shield of California. And he talk about leadership. I mean, he is one of the great leaders, corporate leaders. And one reason is he's very good, hard business guy, but he's also got a background in philosophy. And he's dealing with healthcare in California. And when he came in, Blue Shield was a $3 billion sort of legacy company. Now they're over $8 billion and one of the most progressive companies in California and one of the fastest growing. Partly, I was working with Bruce early on to help start to redesign the company. One of the things that I noticed is that we couldn't really get any of his leadership principles to happen unless people were able to tell each other the truth. There, people were very, very nice to each other, great manners. I mean, you didn't see cutthroat behavior. You just saw people trying to make sure that they didn't hurt each other's feelings
right.
by telling them the truth. And I realized that unless
they were being
a little too politically correct,
weren't they?
Yeah, I don't know if it's politically correct. I think it was more like just trying to, two things. It's very hard to confront people because of their feelings and because of your feelings. You know, just you run away from conflict. So I had to help them. I created this system where they learned how to become very objective about reality and not take it personally. And so basically we taught the senior guys, and then we taught the next 30, and then we taught the next 100, and then we taught up to this point, I think it's about 4,000 people, 4,000 managers have been through training in the managerial moment of truth. And that training now has spread over to a training what we offer to other companies as well. And the four steps of the training can sound pretty basic, and here they are. The first step is to acknowledge reality. And what we mean by a moment of truth is that there's a difference between what was expected and what was delivered. And that difference could be either you didn't get what you thought you were going to get, it's not as good, or it could be that what you got given was much better than what was expected. And so in both of those cases, those are learning situations. What can we learn from the underachievement? What can we learn from the great performance? Step one is acknowledge reality, which means that, okay, the report was due on Wednesday, it's now Thursday. I mean, just very objective.
Mm-hmm.
And in that alone, one of the companies that I worked with, after we had the book came out, said that this was their hardest step for them, was just to tell each other the reality, acknowledge
right.
the reality.
To call people on what they're doing and to hold them responsible and accountable for what they said they would do.
Yeah, it's the hold them responsible thing that, in a way, is rather naive. What we really want to do, if we want to help them create better performance, is understand how it turned out that the performance was not mm-hmm. as good as it should be, particularly mm-hmm. if it's chronic.
Right.
And so step two is to analyze the manager's thought process. And this isn't just, why was the report late? Well, Sue didn't get me the numbers on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to really say, well, when you first got the project, how did you think about it? What were the decisions you made? What did you assume about reality that turns out not to be
right.
true? Well, you know, those kinds of things are real learnings because
right.
a lot of times you can predict them next time out.
Robert, I got 1 minute. Give us steps three and four.
Okay. And so once you've done that, step three is to make a plan for next time that's based on what you learned. And then step four is to create a feedback system to make sure the new plan is in place. Now, and that has improved performance enormously.
By the numbers. Management by the numbers, folks. Four little steps. It sounds like a good idea to me. Well, Robert, and by the way, as you said, it's one of those things that's working all over the world. The Managerial Moment of Truth. Robert Fritz is the co-author along with Bruce Badakin. Is that Badakin. Did I say that? Badakin. Okay, right. I'll get it right in a minute. And robertfritz.com is the website. Robert, thanks for being here. Happy holidays.
Oh, same to you. Hope you and your listeners have a great time.
We'll see you next time. Robert Fritz, thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, right back after these messages with our good friend Josh Costell. And stay with me. I'll be right back.
When nights close a tired eye, I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my dawn surprise. I'll be with you, darling.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.